Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Railway Hill Podcast. This is one of a series of podcasts that me and my colleague Shannon recorded in an attempt to try and learn more about trains. Because despite the fact we work for one of the biggest railway publishers in the country, we actually don't know that much about trains. In this episode, we cover a really fascinating story from railway past, so the Crash at Crush. I think you're going to really enjoy it. This week we're looking at a very interesting story called The Crash at Crush. Do you want to explain what this is, Shannon?
Yeah, it's a long story, should I say. Well, I'd say a long story, but it's a very interesting one. The Crash at Crush. So this was a single day publicity stunt in Texas that took place on September the 15th in 1896, so way back in the Victorian era. And the event was organized by general passenger agent of the Missouri-Kansas-Texas Railroad, or as it was known then, the Katy, in order to demonstrate a staged train crash for public spectacle. As you can probably imagine, it really didn't go well, hence why we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But rewinding to the very start of it, the Katy Railroad had first reached the town of Crush in the 1800s during the construction of the Dallas and Houston route. With the expansion of the railroad, the Katy replaced its 30-ton steam engines with newer, more powerful 60-ton engines. And inevitably, there was like an accumulation of these old unused units that were just hanging about. So in 1896, Katy agent William Crush proposed a publicity stunt that would be use the old Katy trains, and this was going to be held on the Dallas-Houston route at a site which was about 40 miles north of Waco. I hope it's Waco and not Waco. I feel like Waco is the right way to pronounce it.
Yeah, that sounds about south. Right.
Yeah, I feel like Waco just sounds wrong. Apologies if it is pronounced like that. And it was also 3 miles south of the town of West, a super imaginative name. And a previous locomotive crash had been staged by the Columbus and Hocking Valley Railroad at Buckeye Park in Ohio, which was on May 30th, 1896. And that was a huge success. Like it garnered a lot of money and a lot of praise from people. They loved it.
It's interesting, because I was trying to work out like where this idea came from, you know, because they could have just, I don't know, put it in a hole or something, buried it.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting when they kind of thought, right, we're going to crash them.
It's all about making money, end of day, innit?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Buckeye Park was established and owned by the Hocking Valley Railroad to bring in residents of nearby Columbus to have weekend getaways. And the locomotive crash was planned for the park's annual opening day and drew about 20,000 viewers in. So that's a lot of people for then.
Yeah.
There was no admission fee. However, the money made on the railroad passenger traffic to and from the park was like what gave them the profit. Okay. So by getting people to come and go back home, yeah, on the trains, yeah, that's how they made the money. So William Crush took this idea and ran with it for the Katy Railroad. So you have to remember, like, entertainment was kind of sparse in the 1800s. So like spectacles like these are pretty much the talk of the town, or like even the state, basically. Therefore, it's like unsurprising that people like Crush saw these taking place and wanted a piece of the action, so to speak.
It's kind of similar to like the old public executions, isn't it? Like,
it's exactly that, but yeah, but for vehicles. I know.
Let's go watch some trains crashing.
Before the time of TV. Interesting. So yeah, Crush knew that he could advertise the crash to the Crush and Crash. There's a lot of repetitive words. So he could advertise this to thousands of potential passengers, and with this pitch and the potential income that could be made being clear, his superiors agreed to the proposal and he ended up getting full control of the project. So similarly to the Hocking Valley Railroad crash, this event would be free of charge. Instead, it would be profiting from the ticket sales on special excursion trains running to and from the event site. And two water wells were drilled at the site, and a circus tent was placed up, as well as a grandstand, speaker stands, a reporter's platform, two telegraph offices, and a special train depot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another word I always pronounce wrong.
So it is like a massive event, really, isn't it? If they've got all of that going on.
Yeah, I know. It might as well have been a theme park.
Yeah. Do you think it was out in the middle of nowhere? Is that why they're then making money on the getting people there, the traveling there?
Well, as I go a bit further in, it kind of explains that it basically was just a temporary town.
Right.
Obviously named after William Crush for the event. So they just built up this town just to crash some trains together, you know?
That's what it was founded on, that principle.
Yeah.
We all love train crashes.
Yep. So all of this was looked over by a big sign proclaiming the site as a new temporary town called Crush after William, because that's not narcissistic at all, but whatever. There are also like lemonade stands, carnival games, cigar vendors, medicine shows, you know, like in Victorian films where they show like, oh, this potion will make your hair grow back or something like that.
Yeah.
Apothecary things, yeah, and lots of other shows as well. There was also a construction member that stated that the shows alone were like worth seeing. So even without the actual big event, people were just coming to enjoy the circus and the carnival shows. So it was a big spectacle. A separate 4-mile segment of the track from the Katy was built for the event alongside the railroad. So there was no chance a runaway train could end up on the main line and end up crashing an actual running train. Each end of the track was placed on top of a low hill on opposite sides of a valley, so the trains could meet in the middle. And the locomotives that were going to be used were 235 short ton Baldwin engines, number 999 and number 1001, or 999 and 001, whatever you want to go with. So there was plenty of safety precautions that had to be taken place, but remember, this is like in the 1800s, so health and safety wasn't especially a priority back then. It was a quick sweep of the event, like, yeah, it's good to go, whatever. The day before the event, they did actually do a speed test for the engines, which was done by railroad officials in order to help predict like when they would collide. And Katy engineers told William Crush that his idea was safe and that the boilers of the engines had been designed to resist ruptures, even at high speed crash. So they weren't going to explode, or they were unlikely to.
Right.
Famous last words. So each engine would be pulling six boxcars behind it, behind the couplers linking the cars. They were considered unreliable. The cars were chained together to prevent them from coming apart during the impact. So nothing should have like torn apart, really. So Crush insisted on restricting the public to a minimum of about 200 yards away from the track, but he did allow members of the press to be with 100 yards because I guess their lives matter less, but whatever. I suppose it's just for, you know, better pictures and whatnot. Considering each picture took like 3 minutes to do back then, you probably needed to be as close as possible. So the Katy officials had expected a crowd of about 20,000 to 25,000 people to attend, but the really good marketing ploy was like an overwhelming success. And the railroad sold out more than 30 special excursion trains for the event. So there was a lot more than they were expecting to be there. So for the actual big event itself, it was delayed for about an hour due to some crowd resisting the police because they wanted to get everyone back to a seemingly safe distance. Then at about 5 p.m., the two trains pulling cars like loaded with railroad ties, they slowly met in the middle. A photo opportunity, so they kind of just like, you know, did like a handshake sort of thing. They just bumped noses and then went to the starting points at either end of the track. So then William Crush then signalled the start of the spectacle, and the crew aboard, because there were crew aboard the trains to like set it off, they opened the steam to a pre-range setting, and they rode the trains about four turns of the wheels before they like dived off.
Oh, okay. So they're not meant to be on the train when it collides then.
No, they just get it going to the speed it needs to be at, and then they stay on for a little bit and then jump off. You know, like jumping out of a moving car essentially. It's crazy.
God.
I know. I don't think any of those from what I could find, none of those were injured.
That's good.
Somehow.
Yeah, that is quite amazing.
Oh, it gets worse though. So each train reached about 45 miles per hour by the time they met in the middle, which doesn't sound fast, but because of how like heavy these things are, that's a lot of momentum. So some of the spectators actually thought that it was traveling faster than that, but even if anyone involved wanted to change their mind at that point about doing it, it was way too late. So witnesses actually described the impact as it crashed, which was recorded in the Dallas Morning News. I think it was the day after. They said it was a sound of timbers rent and torn, and then that was followed by a moment of like complete silence, and then the two boilers exploded. And the ones that they said was unlikely to explode, as if the trains have like collided for a second time, although this time it came with like a shower of debris, and then it basically transformed whatever was left of the locomotives into shrapnel and flung hundreds of feet into the air and straight into the nearby crowd.
Who would have thought anything could go wrong?
I know. Well, I guess because there'd been previous crashes and nothing like this had happened, they just assumed it would be fine. But obviously, there was about 40,000 viewers there, and panic started setting in and everyone started running from the scene. And a Confederate veteran at the event compared the actual explosion to a battle, which understandably with all the debris blowing up everywhere, and other spectators started dropping to the floor, and the debris just continued to fall on the viewers, with some of it like being small pieces of metal and bits of wood, and then some of them were like the size of a boiler stack. So it's like huge, huge wads of metal. For some reason, it just reminds me of Final Destination. I don't know why.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a weird comparison to make, but you know those scenes at the beginning where just bits go flying everywhere and you see people get absolutely mangled? Gross comparison, but that's just what comes to mind.
I've always had that image of, I don't even know which one it is, but one of them starts off with a highway, doesn't it? And there's all these cars on a highway.
Yeah.
And there's one bit where there's a log truck with all these logs in the back, and one of them just goes straight through the windshield of the car behind it, and it's like, oh.
Every time I see a truck with logs on the back now, I get so scared driving past it. I just think of that scene.
That doesn't look tied down. That's not safe.
No.
Yeah.
It's a weird tangent to go on, but yeah, it just reminded me of that.
maybe someone here had a premonition and they should have warned everyone.
Oh, do you think? I don't know. They should have done. It might have. Yeah. So obviously two people were killed and then about six more were seriously injured, which is a lot less than I expected. Yeah. I mean, it's still more than should have been, but it's surprising that not more people were killed. And a photographer called Jarvis Dina, I think his last name. Yeah, Dina. He ended up losing an eye to a flying bolt, unfortunately. I think he survived though, miraculously. And after all of that, all that was left of the engines and cars were big smoking masses of metal and wood, apart from the ends of the cars of both trains, which like miraculously went untouched. So if this would have happened like today, there's no doubt like a long and arduous investigation would have happened, with plenty of like reparations to be paid like for those who were at fault. But it wasn't present day, and health and safety was like non-existent. So once the panic had subsided and the dead and injured were in the process of being moved from the site, spectators returned to the wreck basically like vultures, and they started snatching up debris from the carnage as like souvenirs.
Right.
I guess like cigar vendors weren't enough while they were there. They wanted a piece of the broken train as well.
They want something to remember their lovely day by.
Piece of bloody metal from awful.
That's awful.
I know. Some even went so far as like to burn themselves on the still hot metal for a piece of the train. It's ridiculous. And then there was like people posing for photos as well, like this done on top of the masses. Yeah, I guess they didn't have a very good gift shop.
Very satisfied with it.
Yeah.
Got to get a selfie on top of the blown up train.
even back then, they were still taking selfies. They have a go at us now for it, but those Victorians were at it and all. Well, I say Victorians or Americans, but during that era. So obviously William Crush was immediately fired from the position from the Katy Railroad, although this was likely just to have been like to save face with the company because he was quietly rehired the next day. And he continued to work for the company until his retirement in like a six-decade long career, which is insane.
Yeah. I guess in those days, like, you could get away with that because they would put out the news article saying he's been fired or whatever. And for everyone else, you can't Google it. Yeah.
I know nowadays that'd be absolute uproar. The company would be like going to court every single day for the rest of their existence.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story ended up making national headlines, and the Katy Railroad quickly settled several lawsuits from the victim, like from the victims' families, with cash and ironically lifetime rail passes. I think I'd be a bit insulted by that.
Yeah.
Like, here, your family member might have been killed by a train, but have free rail passes forever. Great. And the severely injured photographer who somehow survived, he got damages of about $10,000 or about like $309,000 in today's currency, which really isn't a lot considering he lost an eye.
It reminds me a bit of that Alton Towers crash the other year, and like the people now, they've been paid millions, haven't they? I feel like they got a lot.
I think they were offered like Merlin passes as well, so they could get access like
similar figures.
Just the whole room, like read the room.
Yep.
But compared to today, like that amount of money would be laughable in reparations. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But despite the tragedy, the railroad in total actually benefited from the attention, and it continued to like hold their own locomotive crashes in later years as well. So it wasn't the last one they did.
That's amazing. The town still got named after the guy, even though it's part of his fault.
I'm assuming it's not there anymore, obviously, because it was a temporary town. But it's just so strange. They decided to build a whole town just for this one spectacle. And name it after the guy who did it. I don't know. But yeah, that's the whole tale of the crash at Crush. And I found it really interesting because it's hard to believe that something like that would have taken place, especially nowadays when, one, health and safety is like through the roof. You have to do health and safety like checks for everything.
Yeah.
And two, that like people had to resort to that for entertainment. Mm. I mean, I suppose it's one way of getting rid of some old trains, but.
And the fact that clearly people still attended locomotive crashes in later years, even after hearing about something like that happening, like horrible tragedy, is still going. Like, that's pretty incredible.
Thank God we got TVs.
It's interesting because it's like, in a way, it's sort of like recycling, isn't it? But a very, I guess it's not because you're blowing it up.
I couldn't find anything about what they actually did with the remains of the locomotives after, whether they just scrapped them or what. But
it sounds like most of the people just pinched it. They didn't have any remains.
Yeah. I know. It's just funny to imagine some of them going in with like train wheels or something because they're like the size of a person.
They've just like put that on their fireplace. Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little
thing. It's like, Mom, I brought a piece of a train home.
It's got blood on it.
Oh, it's disgusting. A part of me would have been interested to go and see one of these, though.
Mm.
Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you heard it was happening and it was nearby, it probably would be quite interesting to watch. Like, not obviously not this one where it's actually exploded, but
oh no, I'd definitely get the interest.
People watch monster truck stuff, don't they? And that's basically just cars crashing into each other, isn't it?
Yeah, like crash derbies and stuff like that. They're super popular and it's understandable. Yeah. But I mean, it's definitely a success story in marketing, even with the explosion, because they still benefited from it. I mean, so marketers, take note. No, don't, really don't. Don't leave this happen. So yeah, that's the full story. I mean, it's a crazy one.
Yeah, definitely.